Good evening, everyone. Well, let's turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We're at part 8, I believe, of Psalm 23. That well-known psalm. We'll be looking tonight at the first part of verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. But let's read the whole psalm through. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, Lord, we do commit this time to you. We pray for your help. We pray that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts, meet us all in our point of need. Pray your spirit would change us into the image of your son. Teach us. Lord, we pray and plead, Lord, that it would be none of me and all of you. Lord, use this time for your glory. Take your word and work powerfully in each heart here tonight. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, as we've looked at a number of times, a well-beloved psalm. We've come through the Lord leading us in green pastures, still waters, restoring our soul, and through the valley of the shadow of death. And tonight we're going to look at, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Here we have the Lord providing all we need, both provision and protection, food, fellowship, and safety. And there is a shepherding picture here. This is the shepherd psalm, the famous shepherd psalm, and we have the shepherd who, through the course of the shepherding year, would sometimes travel ahead of the sheep, and he would scout out the land. And in this way, he is preparing a table for the sheep. He would go, and you could say, he would look at the tablelands, where is also good grazing ground. The tablelands are good grazing ground. So to say that the Lord prepares a table for his sheep is very much a true statement. He would go ahead, this wise, caring shepherd, and he would look for weeds that were poisonous to the sheep. There's some weeds that can cause paralysis in the sheep to die. And he would look very carefully and pull out these weeds in a painstaking process of care and concern. He would also look for the watering holes and the drinking spots and pull out the leaves and the dirt and soil and any rubbish that's got in there over the season that they haven't been through that area. The wise shepherd who loves his sheep would also look out for areas where predators might trap the sheep. Now, predators like bears and wolves and cougars and snakes and things like that could be hiding in rocks, or sometimes they like to be from a vantage point and look for where they can scare the sheep, scatter them, like the scriptures say about the sheep being scattered, and pick them off. The wise shepherd will see this problem coming and will prepare for it. And in this way, he will protect the sheep in the presence of the sheep's enemies. He goes before the sheep and travels ahead and prepares a table. By doing this, the sheep have a safe place where they can forage, a safe place where they can graze and find pasture. And the Lord is the same for us, how he provides all we need. This shepherding picture is clearly here in the psalm. And yet, David here is alluding to another image as well, with the same teaching of the Lord's provision, protection and safety, but there's another image here, and that is of Middle Eastern hospitality. In verse 5, we have the table being prepared in the presence of enemies. We have anointing the head with oil and the cup running over. Lord willing, we'll look at those later. And whilst these are shepherding images, they are also hospitality images. In Middle Eastern traditions, you could have a man or a chief or a monarch or a tribal leader or a king who might offer hospitality to a traveller. And for that traveller to come into the tent, they could accept a meal. To accept that meal, the host then was obliged to protect the guest. So to come and dine with this king or with this host, with this monarch, was to get his protection from your enemies. He was obliged to protect you. If you had people chasing you and assailants trying to attack you, and if you were invited in and you could have a meal there, you were safe. The host is obliged to protect the guest. And so whilst dining, and from then on, you are friends with the host. You are safe and secure from your surrounding attackers. And in the same way, as we fellowship with the Lord, he provides protection. As we join our Lord for a meal. We think of Abraham. Remember how he used his servants to capture or to recapture Lot. Remember when Lot was taken captive by some invading forces? Well, Abraham used his servants as an army. That's a similar thought to a kind of a patriarch like Abraham, having the ability to protect those under his care. Then we had Abraham entertaining angels unawares. We looked at in the Hebrews. And the original recording is in Genesis 18, where Abraham, he entertained these men, not knowing they were angels, and he would have been obliged to protect them from any adversaries who might have been chasing them down. So this is the other picture that King David had in mind as he penned this psalm. Yes, the shepherding image to illustrate God's protection and provision, but also this ancient Oriental tradition of the Lord protecting, or a Lord protecting his subjects and his guests. The Lord is our host, we are his guests. The Lord is our shepherd, we are his sheep. He provides all we need. And to quote from a man called Perowne, this shows how there's two lessons, or the one lesson in the two pictures. He says, God is even more than a shepherd who provides for the wants of his sheep. He is a king who lavishes his bounty in rich provision for his guests. Although the figure of sheep and shepherd pass over into that of guest and host, the ideas are the same, though in different forms. There is a beautiful correspondence throughout. As the sheep lie down, satisfied with the rich provision of the shepherd, in the green pastures and by the refreshing waters, so the guest sits down satisfied with the rich provisions of the table of the Lord. In regards to in the presence of mine enemies, he says, as the wild beasts surrounded the sheep in the gloomy wadi, and they were comforted by the shepherd's rod, so the enemies surround the guests, and he is comforted by the table of the monarch. It's a wonderful picture to come into the caravan of an eastern monarch and have his protection. Let's keep these two images in mind as we take apart this verse. I'd like to look at three parts. Firstly, a table. Let's consider a table. This is the thing that the Lord is preparing for us in our journey through life as a sheep. And in the battle, the Lord provides a table. Note that it's in the presence of our enemies. So this is not just a journey through life as a sheep under the shepherd, but we are in conflict as Christians. And yet God provides a table. He provides a meal for us. This is what is being communicated. God provides a meal for his children. The shepherd has the pastures and the streams to tend his sheep, us, and the host has the banquet to revive us. The table itself represents fellowship with God, feeding on his word. You know, we need the spiritual food for the strength against our enemies. And this is the grass the sheep needs, or the feast that the weary traveller needs. 1 John 2:14 says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Spiritually, these young men have three characteristics. They are strong, The word of God abides in them, and they have overcome wickedness. As the word of God abides in them, they become strong in their spiritual walk, and they can overcome. And the same is true for us. As God provides a meal of his word, and the word of God abides in us, we have strength in the presence of our enemies. The word of God is a necessary part of our own walk. Not only does the spiritual food of the table God provides give us strength, but the table God provides is his divine company as well. Being in the presence of our Heavenly Father gives comfort amongst our enemies. This is the shepherd and the host protecting those under his care. Let's have a look at Psalm 27, just over a page or two. Psalm 27. Here we have a similar image. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. There's a great deal of parallel between these verses and Psalm 23, verse 5. We have the enemies surrounding us in both passages. David, being the psalmist in both passages, he's aware of what it's like to be surrounded by enemies. We're surrounded by our enemies. The host is encamping against us. The wicked, even my enemies and foes, came upon us to eat up our flesh. This is a dire situation. The enemies are around us. And yet, in this time of threat and danger, what David seeks after is given in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That's the same picture as being under the hospitality, the safety and security of the Middle Eastern monarch. The same picture, to come into his tabernacle, we read, in the time of trouble, he shall hide in his pavilion in the secret of his tabernacle, or a tent. Here is David finding safety and shelter in his Heavenly Father. In the same way, we can find safety and security, provision as we fellowship with God, to come into his tent, fellowship with him. This is what we need in the time of trouble, a meal with the Lord. Fellowship with him, feeding on his word. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the battle, our primary need is for a table, a spiritual meal with our Heavenly Father. There are other things that we need, but these are secondary. You know, we could list friends and meetings and a break, or even the armor of God, but these are secondary because nothing can replace fellowship with God. In the battle, we have no substitute for walking with our Lord. No other thing can give us the strength and the courage we need to face our lives. This lesson is clearly illustrated. Think of the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. It says that she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Our greatest need in battle or in rest is to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. just like Mary did. She sat at Jesus' feet. This is what we need in our lives. A table is prepared for us. It's for us to come and sit at the table. I'd like to look at God preparing this table. We've considered the table. I'd like to look at God preparing such a table. Now, God has gone to the effort to make this a possible for us. He provides everything we need. No one else can provide for our needs. No one else can do that. And we consider how the psalm started. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. Consider the two images we've had. The shepherd goes to great lengths to make the pasture and drinking grounds suitable for the flock. He prepares the table. God is proactive in his provision. He thinks ahead. He goes ahead. And he knows what's coming and he makes things ready for us to face it. We can trust the God of tomorrow, for he is here with us today, as well as preparing tomorrow. Now, sometimes I get stressed about Monday on Sunday. Maybe you're the same. We need to trust the Lord with Monday. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's focus on the Lord. Let him take care of that. God will take care of us. The host also, he spares no expense to lavishly refresh and feed us with a great spread, lots of food. Can you imagine it? Baklava and Turkish delight, all these tasty foods, refreshing the weary traveller, as well as protection. The host spends it all. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, this feast is funded by our Lord, who has all resources at his disposal. Psalm 84 verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is preparing blessings for us as we walk with him. Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him. This speaks to the fellowship with the Lord. Having a table prepared by God is not just the food, but being with the Lord as we feed on his word. It's a relationship. I've heard the analogy of wanting to go to grandma's house and have the cookies that grandma enjoys. But as you grow older, you enjoy grandma not just for the cookies, but you enjoy the relationship. And as we grow in our walk with the Lord, we realize we need our Savior. We need a closeness with him, not just the blessings he gives, but him himself. We are complete in him. Another great promise in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us, or prepared for us, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, or a table, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And that is us coming into his tent, the knowledge of him, coming into his presence and having relationship with him, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And these are some of the things on the table offered by the lavish host, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and that is in spite of the enemies who are around us. God prepared a table for David. Consider the story where he was being hunted by Saul, and Jonathan had just let him know by use of code, by arrows, that Saul's going to kill you. David's on the run, and yet God provides for him a meal in 1 Samuel 21, verse 6. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread. The Lord gave David a meal, a physical meal there. But in the same way, the Lord provides a meal in the presence of our enemies. Whereas for David it was Saul, and for us we have other enemies that we'll look at. God also prepared a table for the Apostle Peter. We consider particularly when Peter denied knowing the Lord. Luke 22, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. This is just after we've had some discussion about Peter saying he'll follow the Lord wherever. And the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. This is his enemies around him, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. This is the Lord preparing a table, that thy faith fail not. That's the meal of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter was surrounded by the enemy, Satan, and yet Christ was involved in this, preparing a table, praying for him, praying for the strength of for Peter. God also provided a table for the prophet Elijah. You may recall, we considered Elijah in his deep, dark valley of death when Jezebel threatened his life. And here, in a similar way, he has an enemy, Jezebel, and Elijah is scared. And he runs for his life in 1 Kings 19, verse 2. He lay and slept under a juniper tree as he ran. He ran and then he went for a sleep. And behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And in verse 6, "And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head." There is a meal prepared for Elijah in the presence of his enemies. God took care of Elijah in the battle. And for God, the good shepherd, to look after his sheep, Elijah, he will also look after us, his sheep. God prepares the way in many different ways. And I believe some of them we will never see. But there's one particular way that he prepares a meal for us, and that is that he experienced all that we go through. When the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, became the Son of Man, incarnate as Christ, he was able to experience what we go through. And to know what we need and prepare a table that is fitting for our hard times, for our enemies, our Lord has provided for that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. "For in that he himself, Christ, hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted." That's us. And then in chapter 4, verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." We have incredible provision, incredible preparation the Lord has gone to sustain us and protect us. So finally, let's consider in the presence of mine enemies, in the presence of mine enemies. God's fellowship and nourishment can be calmly enjoyed despite our enemies surrounding us. This meal that we're enjoying is not a hasty, quick throw it down, get back to the battlefield. If that were the case, that would be as if we are providing the oomph in the fight. And yet Ephesians 6 teaches, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Therefore, this meal we are having is one of calmness and relaxation. Have you ever tried to eat when you're stressed or rushed and get a bit of indigestion and it just doesn't go down and doesn't feel good? That's not the image. That is not the picture. The picture is that the deadline is over, everything is sorted, we can relax and rest. Maybe it's the meal after the registration is submitted, not the one before. You can relax. The Lord's got it sorted. As we rest in the hospitality of this monarch, and as we feed in the pasture that our shepherd has prepared, we can be calm. We can relax because our God cares for us. And he has gone before and prepared a table for us. The shepherd, he fights off bears and wolves so the sheep can relax and eat. And the oriental monarch, he employs his servants like an army as military bodyguards so that we can be at peace. Well, it says in the presence of mine enemies, and we've considered David's enemy in one situation being Saul, King Saul. But who is our enemy? Who is our enemy? Well, there's a few we can suggest, and potentially the top of the list is Satan, Lucifer. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, the devil himself is addressed as our adversary. And yet, as we fellowship with the Lord will protect us from him. We need to be sober and vigilant, but we need to keep in fellowship in the Lord's tabernacle. Another enemy who is omnipresent in the sense that it follows us around everywhere is the flesh and the old man. You know, Satan, as recorded in the temptation of Christ, he left for a season because he lost the battle. But the old man just follows us around everywhere. The flesh, we will leave it behind only when we go to glory. And I thought, do we need to prove that the old man is an enemy? But consider that Romans 8:13 says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Surely something that will kill us is our enemy. If we choose to make our decisions according to the old man, if we choose to allow just natural, you know, our decision making and just letting things roll on without thinking spiritually minded, there is a deathliness that will come to our lives. The Word of God says so. Another enemy is the world, or this world's system. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We are not to align ourselves in any way with a system, with an approach, with a mindset that is in opposition to the Lord. This is our enemy. And yet, as we fellowship with God, staying in His Word, we have victory and protection. Sometimes, unfortunately, there are people who set themselves against God and thus antagonize themselves against God and against us, His people. And whilst we love them, for we know God loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, we must stand against those who would stand against God and refuse to yield. We have an account in Acts 13 of Elymas the sorcerer, who withstood Paul, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So he's opposed to the gospel. Just straight up opposed to the gospel. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? With wisdom and from the Lord to discern where this is applicable, sometimes this is applicable. God provides victory over the enemies we have around about us. Consider the phrase, in the presence of. And as I've been researching this, it's suggested that in the presence of mine enemies means that the enemies can see us, but they are powerless to stop us and frustrated that we are being protected by our Heavenly Father. The enemy is just fuming that God protects us. God's victory, which He hands to us as the Oriental monarch with a powerful army around us, God's victory which He hands to us and the protection He bestows upon us is so complete and so devastating to the enemy that we can openly triumph in it. Colossians 2:15 reads, and having spoiled principalities and powers, or our enemies, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We have victory. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 reads, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's easy to surmise that this verse teaches that every godly believer will definitely experience at some point in time spiritual difficulty from outside. Galatians 5:17 teaches the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Here we have the believer experiencing an internal battle. So we have an external battle and internal battle. Between the old man and the new man is the internal battle. The Christian life is a battle. The Word of God is clear and plain. Consider our own lives. Can we identify with this battle? The struggle with outside, the struggle on the inside. If we cannot identify with any of this battle, we need to ask ourselves some serious questions. We're encouraged to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. Have we been born again? Maybe there is no battle because there's no new man yet. Because there is only the flesh and the old man. And there's no opposing force. There's only this negative drive. Maybe as a believer, there's no battle because we've given up. Are we striving to live for Christ? Are we striving in the battle? The Lord gives us the strength. And we have a great goal to serve the Lord and honor His name. And it is a blessing upon our lives as we seek Him and strive in the battle. If we've given up, God can give us strength to get back up and keep going. Are we in the battle? Our divine host will protect us from our enemies. Come under God's hospitality to experience the safety in the warfare. We don't need to fight in our own strength. We would never get anything done. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our God, He chooses to bless us with so many things. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want any good thing. We have so many blessings. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He gives us food and safety, that nourishment of the Word of God, and that nourishment of fellowship with Him. He gives us strength in the fight and in our journey through life. He gives us joy and pleasure in His presence as we enjoy His heavenly hospitality. Our part is to keep our hearts right with Him so we can live in His presence.